the game every time is to do the most degenerate fucking thing, print the most money for ourselves as we can, and then they can't believe it when the party stops, right? And the music cuts out, and then everything falls to the earth. And then they don't pay for it because they get bailed out by our system. So whether you like it or not, or whether you listen to me right now and you think this conspiracy shit or not, there's a revolution coming for our financial system.
Mm-hmm.
And it is going to be spearheaded by decentralized finance space, because we now have a weapon to use in this war. And we don't have to just sit here and take it from you anymore.
Hello, welcome back to Shit They Don't Tell You. I'm Nikki Limo.
Hello, and my name is Stephen Green.
Stephen, wow.
Mm-hmm.
Stephen.
A lot of people know me as Stephen who do not know me, and they read my name from a form or perhaps from an identification service.
Yeah, it's really bad branding that you put Steve everywhere if you go by Stephen.
Sorry about that. But today, we have a very special episode because, once again, we are talking about cryptocurrency. But one of the very interesting things, well, I want to basically keep you guys up to date on the interesting things in the space. And we're going to talk about some of the most amazing things.
Oh, you got me.
That crypto is doing right now.
Did you even mention that we are drinking some martinis?
We have some martinis right now.
They were made from our Keurig Drink Works, not sponsored.
It's not sponsored, but we're talking Keurig, about it everywhere.
We would like to, we would like a sponsorship. We are auditioning to be sponsored. We love Keurig Drink Works.
If you're listening, you want to make a little drinky drink and talk about some crypto. I think those two things mix somehow.
Mm-hmm.
So you guys all know about Bitcoin. If you listen to the show, you know about Bitcoin at least. Okay.
Or if you're on our Patreon, we do a crypto corner with Steve, and we go even deeper than Bitcoin.
Much deeper than Bitcoin. We talk about a lot of the stuff I'm about to talk about, actually. Some of the different applications that crypto has.
Okay.
But we go much deeper on there, obviously, because I have more of an ability to like pull things up and like look at
screen share
stuff. Yeah, exactly.
All that kind of stuff.
It's a different jam.
Okay. So what do I got to know? I got money. I want to put it in Bitcoin, but I don't know what to do. I don't know what I'm doing.
Well, right now is key difference right now between putting money into Bitcoin and putting money into crypto.
Oh, shit.
Because the altcoins right now are kind of what's going to be popping here.
What's the difference?
Well, Bitcoin is its own blockchain, and a lot of the altcoins are based on the Ethereum blockchain. So they're called ERC-20 tokens.
Mm.
Okay, that's just what they're called. It's nothing fancy about it.
ERC-20?
That's what they call them. Okay. ERC-20. Okay.
Gotcha.
And a lot of the things that you've probably heard about, even if you're the biggest normie of all time and you don't barely know crypto, you've heard about the NFT explosion. An NFT means non-fungible token. And we're talking about, there's so many different applications, right? You have, art is one. People are taking their art and they're basically, it's almost like licensing in a way.
That's mostly what I've heard of them for. I've also heard Jack Dorsey did an NFT for his tweet.
He did. We'll talk about that.
Okay.
So there's so many applications. I mean, dude, like we're talking about, there's this, and I'll get into a little bit of the different projects too, just to help you guys, like if you're interested in looking into this stuff more, you'll know where to go. There's one called Flow, F-L-O-W. And they actually have some very unique partnerships within the NFT ecosystem. They are partnered with, for example, with UFC, with the NBA. And what they're doing is they're doing this thing called NBA Top Shots. And this is crazy, right?
Okay.
So think about being a kid.
Okay.
And you get a basketball card or you get a baseball card. And it's just an image of, say, Michael Jordan or Wade Boggs or, you know, Nolan Ryan, any of those guys, right? And it's just a little stationary card of them doing something, right?
Yeah.
Michael Jordan's dunking. Some guys hold the bat.
Or you get the holographic ones where they're like in motion kind of.
Yeah, they're moving a little bit.
Yeah.
And we all like that shit the best, didn't we?
Yeah. Kids?
Well, now with NBA Top Shots, and this is one of the first things I've seen on this, you actually own a clip of the character, whoever it is. Like there's one of the main ones right now. If you go to NBA Top Shots, you can just Google it. You can see a shot of LeBron James dunking, and it's going for $200,000 right now.
See, this is what I'm most interested in when it comes to NFTs, because I think when a lot of people think NFTs, they think of it as the art or as a static image, right? But the licensing for owning moments, like owning moments
sports
in time.
Moments in history, all that kind of shit. And when people are listening, okay, just to help you understand, when we're talking about owning, it's just like owning a baseball card that they only printed 1,200 of them, right? I could take a picture of that on my phone and I could reproduce it and copy it, but it's a fake.
Mm-hmm.
The company, whoever it was, Topps or whatever, they only made this many cards. And so that's what's happening on the blockchain too. And because the way the blockchain works, you can issue a certain amount of, say, tokens, right? But that would be this particular one. Say it's the LeBron dunk.
Mm-hmm.
And say you're only doing one of them. Well, that was only one of them of this particular moment in NBA history that you can actually receive from the blockchain and into your own crypto wallet, and you uniquely own it. It is yours. You can't make more. You can't print more. They could issue like a second edition or something like that. I haven't heard any plans to do that.
Yeah.
But as far as the initial genesis, when they first created that LeBron dunk, that's the original whatever printing was.
Right.
And it's so incredible to see. If you go there, you can see the way they set it up where it's kind of it looks three-dimensional, and they have like stats on the back, and they have like a bunch of information about the moment.
Mm-hmm.
But the front-facing image is LeBron dunking it, and you can constantly watch it over and over again in a loop.
Huh? And know that you own that you moment. Own
it. It's yours.
I think that's so fascinating.
And nobody can take it away from you. It's on the blockchain.
Right.
It's crazy.
It's like,
and it's funny too, because I remember a couple years ago we were doing JK News, and I was talking about this thing called CryptoKitties, and everyone was laughing about how stupid it is.
I've heard of this.
That people were buying kitties for on the blockchain through Ethereum. And basically, like, each kitty is unique.
Yeah.
So each one was worth a certain amount of Ethereum at the time. And people were spending like hundreds of thousands of dollars in some cases on these little kitties.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's only one of them.
Mm-hmm.
And so everyone was laughing about that. But that was like a ladder step towards this kind of application.
Why do they laugh at that but not Yu-Gi-Oh cards?
Well, they should laugh at you. Your card's the hardest.
I'm just saying, like, they're the same. It's like the same concept.
Well, look, when you think about the like crypto, right? And mm-hmm. like you think about people talking about Dogecoin, all this stuff, and how crypto's this big scam.
Right.
And then you hear people are buying kitties for like $1 million or whatever. Then you equate it with the scam that you've already like identified in your head. And you just go, ha, see, I knew I was too smart for crypto.
But I mean, like, nothing really has any value besides the value that people place on it and society decides as a whole.
You are way too smart to talk to those people, because those people will dismiss something because it sounds absurd.
Right.
And okay. They did.
Yeah, I've talked to those people for sure.
Yeah. And now they're sitting here on the sidelines. Well, Ethereum's like $2,000 each. So.
Right.
Good luck with that.
How much was it before when everyone was laughing at it?
A couple hundred, maybe $80 at one point.
Mm.
So yeah, that's the point though, is that all this stuff has a future. As silly as it maybe seemed when you first heard about it, that doesn't mean you should copy paste that thinking into the entire ecosystem.
No, that's dangerous.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So yeah, NBA Top Shots. That's one that I think, I mean, you're gonna have the NFL come in, I bet. I don't know if it's with Flow,
mm-hmm.
but they already have UFC, they already have NBA. Like, they already have some other ones. I think it's a pretty promising coin as far as like future use cases go.
Wait, what's the coin called again?
Flow.
Flow. Yeah. Like progressive.
Yes, unfortunately. No, I heard she's really nice. She's like an improviser.
Yeah, she is. Yeah. Well, I don't know her in person, but I've heard the same thing.
So right now, though, so like in case you're thinking about, you're hearing this and you're going, okay, well, yeah, that's for the rich people only or whatever. No, they actually have it. So you can just buy packs on NBA Top Shots for like a couple bucks. And then you open it with the hopes, just like buying baseball cards, basketball cards, of getting like a rare one.
That's cool.
It's super cool.
I really like that concept.
It's exactly what we went through as kids. Pokemon cards. That will be on here, I guarantee. Not on Flow. I don't know about that. I'm talking about on NFTs. Like,
mm-hmm.
I think there's already a couple Pokemon cards in NFTs, but I think that actual Nintendo, like they will, like whoever that
they'll start gradually.
Pokemon leasing. Studios or whatever, yeah, they'll start to do it because it's such a huge
industry. Imagine owning Pikachu.
Imagine owning a Pikachu and you look at it and he's like supercharging.
Yeah.
And like,
and you own that you moment. Own That's
and you're one of like maybe a wild. 1,000 people who own it.
Wild.
You're one of 1,000 people. Because just like when they printed those Charizards and all that stuff, like when everyone talks mm-hmm. about you get the Charizard and it's worth like whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
50 grand, 100 grand.
If it's, that's cool. It will always stay in mint condition.
Yeah, like, it's a finite amount. Exactly. Yeah. And people can still lose them. Like it's got the same kind of deflationary potential.
But you don't have to worry about your little brother fucking eating it when he's two or whatever.
You just have to hope that your little brother doesn't steal your private key and then send your card off chain to his wallet. Or you have to hope that you don't lose your keys.
Mm-hmm.
Say you send it into your wallet and you lose your keys, your password to that wallet, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's terrifying. But this is what I'm talking about. Like, all this stuff in the next couple of years is going to be like mainstream normalcy. And it extends all the way, like you said. Well, there's one called Decentraland.
Mm-hmm.
This is an entire digital environment that's rendered in 3D. And you basically live in it. It's just like the other game called Life something.
I can't remember. Our Second Life?
Second Life. Mm. It's just like that Second Life game, but it's via NFTs in crypto. So as you play the game, the items that you get are uniquely yours.
Huh.
And you can send them to somebody else without the game even caring that or like controlling it. Like, whoa, they're your items.
That's so crazy.
Isn't that crazy?
Oh man, imagine Animal Crossing where you could put furniture items that no one has.
Hey, how about in Animal Crossing when you guys were like putting up patterns and making your own?
Yeah.
You could do that.
I made a whole M&M room.
We can move on.
My flag was M&M.
But yeah, so in this game, you have NFT land.
Yeah.
Like, there's plots of land that you can get that are uniquely yours. Like, huh. You can transfer that property. And that kind of helps you understand where our world can go. Because that can all happen in real life as well, eventually.
You can get so conspiratorial with this. Like, oh, like, the pandemic. Like, now we could only buy fake land.
By the way, I saw an NFT earlier today. I was on Mintable just fucking around. And I saw an NFT for buying Area 51 land. Like, it just goes to show.
That's great.
Like, there's just some absurdity in the space where somebody just took a picture of Area 51. Like, this is Area 51 land. You own it on an NFT. So, yeah, it's rife with a bunch of bullshit, too.
Yeah.
Of course, because it's a new thing. But.
Well, that's always going to be. I mean,
look at the counterfeit market.
And look at art.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Who's to say,
art market.
It's right.
Huge. It's huge. Hmm. So, Jack Dorsey's first tweet. His first tweet was, I'm setting up my Twitter. TWTTR. That
he left out the I and the E.
He didn't,
no vowels.
He did not even write his own company correctly, which I think is good for his brand.
Cryptic.
I think,
because there was only a certain amount of characters.
Maybe that's why.
Maybe he was like originally 10 characters max or whatever.
Why would he use setting and like instead of Twitter? Just setting up my Twitter. Just use Twitter and just say set thing. Like, you can fuck with setting a little bit. I don't know. Anyway, point being, he sold that NFT of his first tweet for $2.9 million.
Oh my God. Like, he needs extra money.
Well, no.
But it was just for principle, right?
He donated it to GiveDirectly, okay, which is for COVID relief.
Yeah, it's just to show, like, I support NFTs.
Yeah, and he's super bullish on crypto.
Yeah.
Like, he's a very crypto bull.
I love that. I mean, him, Elon.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I enjoy it, too. It's like, there's like this... I don't know. It's almost this like steampunk thing going on with crypto right now. Like,
yeah.
It's like there's this alternate.
It does feel like punk rock.
Punk rock thing going on. Yeah, exactly. And there is a lot of punk rock realities to it too. I thought all that was super interesting. I mean, basically everybody who is famous, and this is just one of those first adopter problems that you have. Everybody who's famous has a huge advantage in the NFT marketplace.
Yeah, totally.
Because they can take all of their things and like just put them in an NFT and they're going to be top of the charts.
Yeah.
But you have to remember, just like an early adopter who, when Blu-ray first came out, their players were super expensive.
Yeah.
And the people who were using them first were rich people. So eventually, because a bunch of people got in the space, it all kind of filtered down.
Honestly, I don't mind that much. I know people like complain about that, but I don't want to be the first people because you are buying something at the most expensive price.
And potentially the most buggy.
Exactly. Like, they haven't worked out all the kinks yet. I would rather have them test it.
That's why when they say early adopter, it's just like when you buy, say, a Steam game and it's early access.
Yeah.
It's the same idea. You could be buying a buggy piece of shit and then you have to deal with it.
Yeah.
So it's a risk.
It's less of a risk for rich people to take. So
exactly,
and they get to say that they're in this exclusive thing
because
they have something most people don't.
It's like Clubhouse.
Is it?
I don't know. It seems like everybody's on Clubhouse.
I joined Clubhouse, but I don't have the attention span.
Same. I can't handle all the buzzwords.
Yeah, and just like, oh, the bios. I don't know.
Oh my
God. Just seems like LinkedIn with audio.
It is. It is.
But maybe I'm wrong. You know, I made fun of Twitter when it first came out.
Look, I'm sure you'll be a Clubhouse creator soon, and you'll be known for it. Okay, so let's move on to one of the other amazing things that crypto is capable of. That this is cutting edge shit that I'm about to talk about too.
Wow.
So this is about savings account upgrades. When you think of a typical savings account, Nikki, describe it to me.
It's a place where you go to burn your money.
Well, describe it to me in the most rote terms.
In the most what?
Rote. Oh, like
simplistic?
Basic bitch.
Okay, so you should have savings. Everyone knows that. You should save for a rainy day. So you put your money into an account. It's typically a bank that's FDIC insured. And it will, you know, if you put it in a high yield savings account, I say high yield in quotation marks because the yield right now is not very high by any standards. But, you know, it's more than if you were to go to your checking account. So a high yield savings account right now, Ally is one that I use. There's a few others, but they're about 0.5% interest rate. It pays you an interest rate. Essentially, what they're doing is borrowing your money that you have just sitting there. They use it to loan out to people, and then they give you an interest rate.
So what can you do inside of your savings account?
Not much.
What can you do?
You just let your money sit there and
you put money in, you pull money out.
Yes. That's basically it. Yeah.
Okay. So let me tell you guys about something that this is just announced in demo mode today, but this just gives you an idea of what's coming, right? So there's this project called cash.io. It's an application, not a project, but it's called cash.io. And it's an all-in-one service that basically allows you to move your money between your savings account, which would be set up on this application, right?
Mm-hmm.
Using this great crypto ecosystem called Terra Luna. Like it's a whole blockchain. It's its own unique blockchain. So it's like Bitcoin has a blockchain. Ethereum has a blockchain. Terra has its own blockchain, right?
Okay.
They can do a very high amount of transactions very quickly and very cheaply. So they're getting a lot of hype within the past couple months. And this is one of their applications. So they already have one called Anchor Protocol. And Anchor is, think about Terra on the top of the pyramid, okay?
Okay.
Anchor is underneath it. It's one of the applications of Luna. And basically it allows you to have a high interest savings account where they pay you 20% fixed.
What?
Yeah. So you say you put like $5,000 in there.
Uh-huh.
You're getting 20% on it.
Wait, that's insane.
Yeah, because they're basically doing what Nikki just described. They're borrowing your money, and then they're paying you back, like what they're doing with your money.
Okay, I have a question. Please. As a normie, yeah. Okay, because I honestly, I know you would think that since I'm married to Steve, I would know a lot about crypto too, but I don't.
No.
So I have all the same questions that you might have. I am wondering. So with a savings account, obviously it's US dollars. It's depending on what country you're in, right? But here for me, my savings account is US dollars.
Okay.
And I get 0.5% on that, and it fluctuates with the inflation of US dollars. Mm-hmm. With this Terra Luna, is it still in US dollars or does it fluctuate with the coin?
So it's in a stable coin called UST, which is US Terra. It's actually one of the top, it's in the top 100 now in coin market cap, and it's got billions of dollars of market cap right now because it's being used a lot. But basically the idea is that you convert your US dollars into UST.
Okay.
And then you're basically staking it on their platform and receiving 20%.
And UST is going along with the US dollar.
UST is always fixed to the US dollar. It is a stable coin. It's fixed. So that's what's unique about it is that
You can't lose money.
You can't lose money.
Huh. And it pays you 20%?
That's the kind of applications that crypto can do.
What the fuck?
It's an unbelievable. I mean, that if they can pull this off, that could change the world.
Absolutely.
Because your money mobility completely changes.
That beats the stock market.
It beats anything I could name.
Yeah.
So this is all very early stuff. Like I said, Cash.io just came out today.
Mm-hmm.
I was fucking around with it in a test format because that's all that exists right now. But it is, so basically imagine having a decentralized Robinhood.
Okay.
Where you can not only buy stocks and move money in and out of it, but you can also dump it in the same application into a savings account earning 20%.
What?
Get your fucking head around that.
I can't.
Exactly.
Because it doesn't exist yet.
That's why this is the mind-blowing shit that's going to change the game. Like, it's going to change the financial
system. This reminds me so much of the internet. Some of you might not have been around, but I know a lot of you were in the 90s when the internet was becoming mainstream. And there were so many... there were so many non-believers because, oh, yeah. I mean, my parents, grandparents are like...
Isn't Buffett a non-believer?
Yeah, because it's like, it's so hard to wrap your head around and not only wrap your head around, but believe that the general public will adopt this as a widespread thing.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
I think this reminds me so much of that.
So one of the things that you can do right now with Terra...
Mm-hmm.
Is they have another thing. So top of the pyramid is Terra. One of them underneath it is Anchor, your savings account. One of them, say to the right or left, is this thing called Mirror Protocol, M-I-R-R-O-R, like a mirror,
mm-hmm.
protocol, where it mirrors, it creates synthetic assets, which I've talked about on the show before,
right.
of stocks and commodities and puts them on the blockchain as stable coins.
Yeah.
So that you can always be involved with the price action.
It's like
things.
It's creating a parallel universe of decentralized
that's
stuff.
What's going to happen.
That's
what's
going to
happen. So that's what I'm saying. People don't understand.
Yeah.
But they're basically replicating all of the financial system on the blockchain.
Wow.
And you can participate in it and you're not this huge entity.
Uh-huh.
So you don't have the ability to squash the little guy because the little guy is an individual in this decentralized space.
Huh.
So you can actually use your money, buy, say, GameStop synthetic stock,
mm-hmm.
ride the price action of that, and then say it goes down or some whatever the fuck, you're like, I don't know about this right now, went down 8%. Cash it on the same application into your savings account where you're comfortably earning 20%.
So I just want to confirm, though, like if you are investing in synthetics, you're just capitalizing on the price action. You don't actually own a part of the company as you would if you had a stock.
Exactly. You are tethered to the price action.
Huh.
You do not have a certificate that says you own that stock.
That enters a whole new set of values because I like the aspect of owning a piece of a company.
Yeah.
And you know,
you can still have that when you go to Wall Street and you buy stock.
Right, right, right.
But with this is for people who don't have the ability to do that. They live in, say, a developing country, a third world country, or just they're not able to do that because their country doesn't allow them to participate in our stock market.
Huh.
You can participate that way. It opens our financial system to everyone.
Wow, I didn't think about that.
Exactly.
That some countries are blocked from exchanging on our...
Yeah, I mean, right, there's a first world where you can buy a share of a huge company that literally everyone's heard of.
Right.
And then there's a place where you can't do that, and that's a wild dream.
Uh-huh.
That you have no ability to
But the fact that
for.
They have access to the digital world,
exactly.
You know, that those two things can coexist, that they cannot buy into a company, but they can have access to the digital
yeah,
world.
It kills the gatekeeper.
Yeah.
For them.
Huh. Right? Wow.
And so that's what's so, I mean, there's so many reasons why it's amazing, but that's one of them. And then you might be asking how, okay, Steve, how are they able to provide 20%, right?
Yes.
Okay. So the money market basically aggregates stablecoin deposits with matching denominations into what's called a pool.
Okay.
Okay. And they call those markets. And borrowers, basically, they proceed from this pool. So they pull money from this pool,
mm-hmm.
right?
Like as loans?
What's that?
As loans or what?
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Borrowers are proceeded from this pool.
Okay.
And interest gained from them is equally shared among all unit of stablecoin deposits.
Gotcha.
So that's the method and the math of how they do it.
Okay.
And they have an entire formula on the website. You can like look at it. But this kind of shit, I think, if they pull this off, these guys deserve a fucking Nobel Peace Prize.
Wow.
Because it would really be a game changer for everybody.
Right. How many borrowers do they have that they're able to have that consistently.
Millions, and it's compounding daily.
Interesting.
Yeah, and this thing just Anchor itself, the savings platform, just launched 2.5 weeks ago, and they already have millions of users. So the idea is, as it grows, that would, you know, obviously be even more comfortable. So the next really cool thing that's going on in crypto that maybe you have not heard about is land registry in developing countries. So there's a huge problem in developing countries where if you want to go there, there's often not even ledgers that say like who owns what and where.
Oh.
Sometimes leaving that obviously open to fraud and all kinds of different like scenarios where people aren't sure who owns what where.
People can just say like, oh, I own that.
In some places that can happen. Yeah. And then you have to be able to provide proof. And if you can't, even if you've owned the place, you're in trouble, right? So there's a project called LTO Network, and they are partnered with the United Nations. They're a crypto project, right? And basically they have public and private layers to their, what they, it's called an enterprise focused blockchain, which just means it's just something that benefits companies more. It's not just a regular blockchain. It's something that they tailored and catered towards companies. But basically they have what's, I don't mean to get too wonky here.
Go ahead.
So just slow me down if I,
okay.
But they have attained what's called GDPR compliance.
Wow.
Which is
a lot. That's a mouthful.
From the United Nations.
Okay.
That basically, to break that down, right? General Data Protection Regulation, that's GDPR. Mm-hmm. And it basically is about how businesses handle personal data.
Okay.
And so any company that doesn't follow those standards, they get fined. They can face like all kinds of issues.
Is this currently or this is in the future?
This is how it is right now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, right now. So, but this blockchain company is GDPR compliant with their blockchain.
I see.
Which is super crazy.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't really happen, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it being GDPR compliant is a huge deal for businesses, which is why they've already been able to partner with IBM and some other huge companies. And basically they're doing a lot of things, but it's about registering information on a blockchain and making it easy for people to put and pull information from blockchains. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So it's like you can say, hey, this is the information, or you can say, hey, I'm changing that information, and you can do it quicker than in a normal smart contract.
Okay.
So that's what they're doing that's really unique. And they're also helping with the land registry issue, where you can have a decentralized ledger that has the land registry organized and it's on blockchain, so it can't be hacked.
Hmm.
So it's super cool shit.
So security.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Security, but also
all around security.
But also with land registry.
Right.
As one of the huge components of that, which I mean, you can imagine already having a partnership with the United Nations. I just think this one's.
Yeah, that's crazy. I didn't know the United Nations like outwardly supported cryptocurrency.
Yeah.
Or the crypto world.
They like these guys. So
great.
It's pretty cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And when we come back, we will talk about some other very interesting applications that might blow your mind.
That's right. It's going to blow my mind because I don't know shit. Hey, thanks for listening to our podcast. We just want to take a break to tell you to like, thanks for listening to our podcast. And if you want to rate it, that would be really awesome for us.
Like, listen, we're on break. We're not talking to you like podcast hosts right now. We're just talking to you like people.
As a friend.
And we just want to say, please rate the show because it helps out huge amounts.
Like, we're not desperate. We're like kind of desperate.
We're giving shout outs right now to all the people who are giving it ratings. So huge shout out right now to Brian Jorgensen. That was sick of you, dude. Thank you. God bless. Huge shout out right now to Mark W. in Springfield, Connecticut.
Back to our podcast.
Jenny Blake.
Hey, back to our podcast.
In Tuscany,
and
Florida.
Back to our podcast.
God bless you. Thank you.
Steven.
Thank you for supporting the show. Okay, welcome back. Shit They Don't Tell You live.
It's not.
So we're live today.
It's not live.
And so that means if we make a mistake, you know.
Do you know what live means?
I should start juggling.
You should start juggling?
If I make a juggling mistake, everyone's going to see it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so Nikki.
Yes.
What do you know about ride sharing?
Uber?
Uber, Lyft.
Lyft.
That's it, right?
Yeah.
Do they count those bird scooters? No, they shouldn't.
No, they can't share that. Oh, okay.
I was scared for them.
Do they count bicycles with the little pegs on the back wheels?
Of course not.
Take your friend around?
Of course not.
Okay, well, then they don't count. Okay, what do I know about them? I know they Uber, like I'm like, which one is cheaper right now?
So, but when you think about when you're actually like in the car, what does the driver do?
It's been a while because of this pandemic. Have not been in Uber since it started.
Would you say the driver does most of the work?
I would, yes.
Yeah. And sometimes they get a huge percentage taken out of what they did because a company designed an application.
Mm-hmm.
They pair the requester to the driver, and it happens pretty instantly most of the time.
Right.
And then they settle the payments, right?
That makes sense. As I work on YouTube. I don't know if you've heard of it.
Got a similar vibe there. What is it, 30% YouTube takes?
60%.
It's a fun time. Jesus, it used to be 30.
Was it?
60%? They take 60?
I can't remember if we get 60 and they get 40 or they get 60 and we get 40, but I know that we're getting fucked.
Yeah, exactly.
That's all I know.
While they slowly lower you down in the algorithm and fuck around with everything.
Yeah, it's definitely not 30 though. It's at least 40.
It's a blast.
Yeah.
So using blockchain, there are companies right now working on this. There's one called Dreyfe, which is they're trying to basically set this up, I guess, in India, but it's based on the EOS blockchain, which I'm not a huge fan of personally. EOS, not to get too crazy in here, but if you're ever to look at EOS and be like, oh, I want to get some EOS, in my opinion, I think that's a horrible decision.
Okay.
But
he said what he said.
This project is on EOS. They claim that they want to be able to have a ride sharing system that pairs the driver to the end user via blockchain seamlessly, like basically taking the middleman out of the equation.
Okay.
So if you have a request, they can like match you without having someone like some entity, some company with a bunch of people sitting in a corporate office and trying to come up with different
ideas. But
there's
still like a third party. It's this Dreyfe thing, but.
Well, right. But
they're just not.
So
not like
their plan is to give drivers 100%. Of everything, and then the driver pays an annual fee to use the service.
I was going
to
say, what do they get out of it?
Yeah, they get an annual fee to use the service.
Okay.
Yeah. But this is kind of one of those things that's in the spirit of blockchain.
Yeah, I like it because it's like you own a franchise almost, like where you just buy the equipment, but you make 100% of the profits.
Exactly.
Okay.
So that's one of the cool things I think could happen the next couple, like 10 years or so. I mean, that's obviously going to take a lot of R&D because if somebody clicks that button and says, I need a ride, it has to be seamless. In a lot of the different ways that we use crypto right now, it's not seamless like that.
Right. Like I said, it reminds me of the internet. Like, remember how long web pages took to load? You had to do it through your fucking phone. If someone was using the phone, it crashed whatever you were on. It took forever to load a page. I don't think children understand. Kids, when I say kids, I mean 20. Like, if you're 20 and under, you don't get it. Like, you're so lucky. We had to wait. I remember waiting like 20 minutes for a web page to load.
Yeah.
I remember when cable and DSL got invented,
it was a
fucking magic.
Yeah,
it was a magic trick. Yeah, that was wild. Anyway, I think that reminds me. So that just reminds me of like, where we're at in crypto is like a 20-minute web page load, which someone might crash by picking up the phone.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now I want you to think about the
Netscape Navigator.
Oh, God, all that shit.
Remember?
Yeah, of course.
Okay, anyway.
So now Netscape went bankrupt, too, because Microsoft just destroyed them, basically.
That sounds
by
right.
By offering what they did for free. Gotta love Microsoft.
Yeah.
So I want to bring up this other thing that I think is super interesting. So say I live in a developing country or even just in a country where my government is not allowing people to question it. And I have a website and my website is critical of that government. And I want to say, fuck you to that government or whatever I want to say.
Mm-hmm.
They can find me. They can take my webpage down. They can actually just contact the host, whoever's hosting my webpage, have my webpage removed via that kind of censorship. Well, now I bring you into a world of decentralized web hosting where you basically take whatever your website is, break it up into like 1,000 pieces, scatter it all across the internet via the blockchain. And then you use like basically almost like a sorter to put it all together on the blockchain so that when you access it, it all lines up correctly and lets you access it.
This reminds me of Willy Wonka's Chocolate Factory, the part where the kid.
Well, it's not like
TV.
That.
Well, he goes into 1,000,000 pieces.
Talk about Mike TV going to 1,000,000 pieces.
Yeah, right. I am. It's not like that.
It's like that, but for a website, not for a human being.
Okay, I got understand. Put,
scatter human beings across the blockchain.
It was an analogy.
Okay. So yeah, I mean, there's a couple companies doing this right now.
Okay.
There's Ethereum Name Service (ENS) is one. Basically, the idea is that it's all designed to make the web like more open.
Right. Fuck censorship.
Fuck censorship, punk rock, like let's go.
Yeah.
And you can think of all this stuff as a way to, I don't know, just think about it the way that I initially described it. You don't need to worry about querying resources, all this shit else. Mm-hmm. You don't need to worry about that stuff. But yeah, the idea is that you can host your own site and then you link it all back together with a blockchain registry.
Wow.
It's incredible.
That's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think governments should regulate the internet. I mean, I get it for certain scenarios. I guess like, you know, like child pornography.
Yeah, sex trafficking.
Yeah, like things like that. But gosh, like fuck. How come they get to own the internet?
That's a whole other thing. So another thing that we all kind of participate in constantly in our lives that has value, at least to the companies that issue them, mm-hmm. and they have value to us, is loyalty points, right? Mm-hmm. Like if I go to Jersey Mike's, whatever, I get like a 5th sub, I get a 6th sub or whatever.
That sounds so good right now.
Sounds good, right?
Yeah.
Getting a Subway sandwich? Mm-hmm. Sounds very good. But do you own those loyalty points? I mean, you do, because when you go to their store and you say, I have these, they say, yes, we agree.
Sometimes they're like, oh, we don't do that anymore, but we honor it.
It's so fun. I know. It's so like,
I hate that shit.
I know. It's like so passive aggressive.
I'm like, okay, I've been coming here forever.
If you're that sad and you need this, we'll give it to you.
Yeah.
So yeah, one of the cool things about blockchain, there's several companies doing this one. I don't even have one to pick out, but there's a lot of places that want to basically take loyalty points and put them on the blockchain so that you can transfer them and actually like say, I don't eat there anymore because I found a hair in my whatever.
Yeah.
I can send it to my sister who's like, I still eat there. Fuck you. I never had a problem with them ever. And she can send me back something that I like. Say I like Sbarro. I'm the only guy who likes Sbarro. And she's like, oh my God, I found a schmuck who likes Sbarro. Guess what? I'm going to send him my Sbarro like loyalty points. And if you put all that on the blockchain and you make it all so that it's permissionless and can be transferred, it has a value independent of what your relationship with that company is. Mm-hmm. So it's not just about you and the company and how the company determines if you can use it anymore. But now it's you and the company and they determine if you can use it anymore, but you can also transmute that value to anyone you want.
Huh.
And you can trade it for anything you want.
That's cool.
So if I wanted to trade you for loyalty points, but then you have a cool NFT item that I like and there's similar value, we just fucking trade it.
It's like a marketplace.
It's a whole marketplace that will eventually be cross-chain so that even if I'm on Ethereum or if I'm on Binance Smart Chain or I'm on, you know, Terra Luna, all these things bridge together and you won't even know that you're going cross-chain because it's all happening instantly without you even knowing, like email.
Jeez. Gee whiz, man.
Can you tell this stuff turns me on or what?
I can. Thank you. I'm just like, I don't need to see how the sausage is made. Just give me the good stuff.
Okay, so I already talked about synthetic assets.
Yeah.
Now I kind of want to talk a little bit about where I see a lot of this stuff going.
Yes, please.
Okay, so I've talked about many times about how I think it's awesome that we're putting, like, we have these cycles and then I'm able to recognize what the market cycles are.
Yes.
Right?
Like a trend.
But what do you do, like, when it's not bull season? What do you do when it's not time to, like, fucking run around the house and be like, fuck yeah, we're killing it?
Yeah.
Like, what do you do when everything's going down?
You buy houses.
No.
Oh.
The idea is that you now have access to synthetic assets that are tied to the stock market. So if you're like, hey, I think that crypto's going the fuck down because it's, say, March of next year, mm-hmm. 2022, and you're like, man, we're back in a bear market. I'm not getting gains from my money in crypto. And that's really what all this is about, right? Mm-hmm. If you have your money somewhere, your money should be making you more money.
Right.
And even in crypto and everything else, like, it's about getting your money to be the most strong for you.
Or stopping it from inflation.
Correct. Because if you just sit it in a regular bank account, you're susceptible to inflation.
Yes.
And you're getting killed by it every year. So during a Bitcoin and you know, crypto bear market, well, now I can take my crypto and instead of just either I put it into a stable coin or I just go down with the ship. Now I can say, you know what? I'm going to put this into like an S&P 500 token, mm-hmm. like that's synthetically created on the blockchain so that you are not just sitting there in the crypto red. You're actually participating in the market green mm-hmm. of whatever you determine based on your research. So you're not, your crypto isn't stuck anymore.
Yeah, you can move it around with.
And it's not just sideways anymore.
Yeah.
You can actually move it around and make gains even when the cycle's like going through a bear.
So that's so fascinating.
So this next iteration of the market cycle is going to be so unique because people will be using crypto to make money
in the stock market, but not
but not
actually
in the stock market. Are we in a punk rock universe or what? How sick is that?
It's like
shit?
A Rick and Morty finance.
You know
world.
What I mean? This shit's cool, man.
Yeah.
This shit's cool.
No, it's great. Like the middleman, the authority gets taken out. I'm like,
we love it.
Yeah.
Who doesn't love that?
Yeah.
So that's another way, right, to start thinking about this. Because I know a lot of people are listening to this and going, well, you know, it always goes down or, you know, it's a bubble.
How do you know when it's going
to? How do you know?
Yeah.
But it's not really about that. And I have a friend who always says it's all about timing. It's not about timing. It's not about timing. Timing the market versus timing the market, right?
Yeah.
It's about being in this stuff. Mm-hmm. Like being aware of the space, keeping up to date with it.
You can just continually keep shifting it and it will keep growing essentially.
I know people who lost 97% of their net worth in crypto and they never sold and now they're back.
Wow.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And they're not just back. They're like back and then they have like multiple six figures on top of it mm-hmm. because they just didn't sell. They're like, you know what? I know why I bought this shit and I've been reading about it for years.
Yeah.
Right? And so, yeah, that's the way to think about this stuff is like as these as DeFi becomes more of something that we're all using, that's another way to play the space as well.
Do you think like it'll eventually X out regular FI, like centralized finance?
I'm so bullish on the space that of course I do, but I'm so biased
because
that I don't
then
trust myself.
Because then it opens a whole doorway of like, well, either the stock market will cease to exist if that happens, or everything just gets converted over into crypto and they find a way to regulate it, hence like destroying the whole nature of it.
Well, let me explain this. There's a revolution coming whether they like it or not, because uh-huh. what just happened with GameStop was a watershed moment. It was a Tea Party moment. Like fucking the original Tea Party, right? You know what I mean? Like the Boston Harbor.
Yeah.
Like we're fucking chucking this shit in the
We
in
don't
the water.
Like taxes.
Yeah, right. We don't feel like we're being heard anymore.
Yeah.
That's what it was about, right? Mm-hmm. When you melt it all away. So I think that when it comes to our financial system right now, you have hedge funds who are over leveraging. They literally can melt the market if they want to. They can pull a Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, and then they can blame the little guy mm-hmm. every time, which is what they do. Mm-hmm. Who'd they blame for the mortgage failures? They blamed the poor, poor people who bought houses they could not pay for.
That's so stupid.
And not the predatory lenders who are
exactly.
making junking checks, right? Ugh. But that's the game.
That whole situation makes
The game every time is to do the most degenerate fucking thing, print the most money for ourselves as we can, and then they can't believe it when the party stops. Right. And the music cuts out and then everything falls to the earth and then they don't pay for it because they get bailed out by our mm-hmm. system. So whether you like it or not, or whether you're listening to me right now and you're thinking this conspiracy shit or not, there's a revolution coming for our financial system.
Mm-hmm.
And it is going to be spearheaded by decentralized finance space, because we now have a weapon to use in this war, and we don't have to just sit here and take it from you anymore. And that's what's happening. So there's folks, crypto's worth $2 billion or $2 trillion today.
It hit
the $2 trillion mark today. It's not going away, and it's only going to get bigger from here. And people who made fun of us for years and they laughed about this for years, they have no idea what's coming. Because do you know what a DAO is?
I only know about the Dow Jones.
So there's this thing in crypto, which, I mean, there's a bunch of iterations of it, but it's basically the decentralized autonomous. It's a decentralized autonomous organization, or DAO, okay. Right? And basically, they are entities of people, and there's a lot of them in crypto. I mean, just a lot of projects are DAOs, like in and of themselves. Like if I take a crypto project, a lot of them are inherently DAOs because they are decentralized, they are autonomous, as in they have their own independence, and they are organized because they're all working together towards a goal. But they, I feel, are amassing a huge amount of wealth and influence in this space. When we're talking about a $2 trillion crypto market cap now, and now you're talking about Morgan Stanley coming in and like all these guys coming in, banks are coming in, like they're gonna let you even use it, even
PayPal,
Fidelity, and all these guys. Yeah, PayPal. All these guys are gonna start letting you mm-hmm. invest in crypto, have access to crypto in your portfolio. Okay, I think that a lot of these crypto companies whose job it is to provide, you know, whether it's yield farming, which is basically just you stake your token and you earn a certain amount of tokens or crypto
mm-hmm.
on the crypto that you staked, and they're using
basically
that.
You get paid interest in crypto.
Exactly. So whether you're doing that, or there's many different ways to make your project more valuable. And as your DAO becomes more valuable, your DAO has more power. Mm. So you're trying to, almost just like a stock market, right? What is the job of a CEO? It's to increase shareholder value.
Mm.
That's what's about
to allocate capital.
That's what's about to start happening in crypto. Well, that's already happening in crypto, but it's about to start to be a real force in our world with crypto, where you have projects that are trying to provide more and more value to their token holders, and the moves that they make will be more and more beneficial to their token holders, giving them even more power. So it won't be this thing that it's been where, like I said, the crypto bear market comes and all this shit goes away. They will be constantly amassing and consolidating power for their individual tokens and providing benefits to token holders that token holders don't want to give up. And almost creating like crypto, it's almost like crypto forming its own country that slowly gets bigger.
Yeah,
bigger.
Yeah, that's what it reminds me of.
Yeah,
or like a continent with a bunch of different countries in it.
But it's crypto.
Yeah,
and through crypto, all through blockchain, through guys sitting in their computer chairs.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's. I mean, to say I'm excited for this is an understatement. I think that
I didn't get that from you. I didn't know how enthusiastic you were. I think he sits on the fence.
I just think that we actually have a shot at actually changing things for the first time in my lifetime.
Yeah.
Like, I think we could disrupt the war economies of the world, and we could actually have governments that are incentivized to actually do things for their people, because
wouldn't that be nice?
There are power centers now that can actually do something about it.
Hmm. Well, your enthusiasm is contagious.
Listen, man, whatever you're doing with your money compared to crypto, you fucked up. If you just put it into crypto, as much as you've heard me bitching about crypto, no matter what you bought, unless maybe with GameStop, I think even including GameStop, if you just bought Bitcoin when it was $3,000 last March,
yeah,
forget about it. So I'm not rubbing anything in anyone's face. I'm just saying this space is...
It's not burgeoning. Too late.
It's not too late. The space is burgeoning. I'm not telling you to buy anything or anything like that.
Yeah.
I'm telling you to please, please, please look into this shit, because this is not going away. And especially to these big fucking financial institutions. it's definitely not going away, which is why they're all trying to play ball with us.
Haha.
Exactly.
That's fun.
Yeah.
That's so fun. I like when like the little guy gets to win.
It happens so rarely that we all notice.
Yes.
And we're like, oh, exactly. Wow. I think a little guy won today, honey. How about
that? Saying that our government might actually be incentivized to work for us?
Nah.
On top of all the money that they steal? Well, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, I'm excited. I can't wait to see what happens.
Me too.
From it.
Me too.
Yeah. And with that, everybody, thank you for listening. If you would like to get into more depth on any crypto subjects, you can go check out our Patreon, patreon.com/sticky. We do Crypto Corner, Steve's Crypto Corner. We originally were like, let's do it once a month, but because
I'm doing
of
it like
all
once
of,
a week. I love this shit.
Yeah.
Like, you can't stop me.
Whenever he wants to do it, at least once a month, but you're getting it pretty much multiple times a month. Yeah. So if you're into that shit, go check it out. We also have bonus episodes of Shit They Don't Tell You, because Shit They Don't Tell You After Dark, where we get a lot more intimate. And then we do a We Just Woke Up, where we talk about things that we just thought about once we woke up. Actually, this morning when I woke up, I'll give you a freebie.
Oh, yeah, this is classic.
Steve cheated on me in my dream, and it was so fucking real that I couldn't look at him. Like, I was just like, my heart is broken.
I'm fast asleep, and I don't know. You know how sometimes you're dreaming and you can feel something, like a presence? All of a sudden, I hear Nikki's voice, and she says, I know what you did.
No, I said, why did you do it?
Why did you do it?
Why did you do it?
Why did you do it? And then I wake up, my eyes open, and I'm like, what? And she's, like, pained in her eyes.
I was so... It took the whole
morning.
It was
the realest dream you've had in a while.
It really hurt. It broke my heart into pieces because it was so real. So anyway, that's what we would have talked about had we done a We Just Woke Up Today.
That's true.
But yeah, there's that. And there's a bunch of other stuff too. We do live streams. It's a party over there. It's really fun. Shout out to the Discord fam. To the
Discord
Patreon,
fam.
Patreon
Shout
Discord
out.
Fam. Whoop. Anyway, subscribe and we will see you next week.
Bye-bye.
Bye, Bitcoin. Not financial.